On Eagle's Wings, we've been in for the last few weeks, looking at the various aspects of the eagle and how that relates to us. And in the first week that we did this together, the first part, we had a pretty full introduction of how the eagle is not only a part of our nation and our country's identity, but it has been that way throughout hundreds and even thousands of years of history, through some of the greatest cultures and greatest nations that have ever been a part of human history. The eagle has often been at the center of that. We looked at the various birds of the church and the different kinds of birds that make up a congregation, knowing that we want to incorporate those aspects of the eagle into who we are, but to know that there are other elements as well that are very important, but are also ones that we need to be careful of and need to be on guard against. Again, not to point them out in other people, but to ensure that we don't allow them to be a part of our lives. And then last week, we talked about the eagle learning to fly and the process by which that all takes place and how the little eaglet in the shell pecks its way out and breaks that shell. And during the time that that happens, this bird is building strength and stamina and perseverance, just as we need to have in our own lives. When we have those moments when we feel like we're encased in a shell for whatever reason, and to come out of that, God allows us to walk through it because it builds perseverance. And we read what Paul says, that perseverance builds character, and character builds hope and love in our lives. And those are the things that we want to embrace. But here's what I want you to know. When you leave here this morning, I want you to know one thing and one thing alone. You were born to soar. Soar. When you think of an eagle flying, that's one of the words that has to be a part of your vocabulary. Eagles just soar. And like so many other things, they are so different than the other birds are. An eagle is basically unrivaled in its ability to fly. There are certain type of raptor birds, R-A-P-T-O-R, which is a carnivorous bird like an eagle or a hawk. That's the group that they're a part of. There have been some that have been documented at heights of 25,000 feet. That's 5 miles above the surface of the earth. They've seen these birds flying. Eagles themselves, and I keep pointing because we had our boy flying out here earlier today somewhere. He's out there around. I'm surprised he hasn't come and checked out this guy on the table. I thought maybe he would zip right in and go, "Hi, how are you? You should get out of there." Isn't that beautiful? I love that thing. It is magnificent. But they have spotted eagles in the ocean between New York and England. An eagle was spotted once 900 miles south of Greenland, which puts it almost in the very center of the North Atlantic. And you know, as strong as they are, their wings and the way that they're structured, an eagle can just in moments be at a height of over 12,000 feet. It just takes literally moments for that to happen. Well, there's a reason why these birds are able to do this. And part of that is how God created them. Now, there are three primary elements of the feathers of an eagle's wing that make it unique. The first is how light they are. Now, I know you're going, "Wait a minute, Pastor Dave, you never heard of light as a feather? You mean they're not all light?" No. When they're grouped together, some of their wings can become very, very heavy. Well, an eagle has lighter feathers than many other birds just because of the structure. Because of that, the feathers have a great deal more flexibility than many other birds. And finally, these feathers are incredibly strong. So the wind and the atmosphere has very little impact on the eagle's wings other than what it wants it to. And I'll come back and explain that in a couple of minutes. On an eagle's wing, there are 4 layers of feathers, beginning with those very long outside ones that you obviously see, and then they come down into degraded forms down to the very back, and every single one of them work together. On those primary feathers, there are slots in between them, and if you look this information up, you can see the pictures of that. And those slots are designed to reduce the drag of the air on the feather themselves, which allows the bird to have greater efficiency when it flies and to hit these incredible speeds that they're able to go. An eagle can use the slightest little breeze in order to stay aloft with almost no effort. You remember I told you about how when the eaglet is in the nest and it's waiting for food, that the parent eagle will often come to the nest, and rather than just landing, it will almost hover over the nest. Remember this? And we said the reason is so that the little one can watch and can see what the eagle wings are supposed to do so he can do them himself. Well, the structure of the feathers and of the wings allows the bird to do that, and it can also remain almost motionless in gale force winds. So the whole thing of that is the eagle uses the winds and the atmosphere to its advantage. It isn't bound by what the winds do. You follow me on that? They also allowed for tremendous speed. There's one particular eagle. It's called the Benelli eagle. The Benelli eagle. And it's named for the world-famous Italian ornithologist, a guy by the name of Franco Andrea Benelli. You know that name, right? You know Franco? You don't know Frank? How do you not know Franco Andrea Benelli? He's the greatest ornithologist ever to come out of Italy. Oh, church, I've got so much work to do here. All right, you've never heard of him. Neither have I, but it's a great name. Franco Andrea Benelli. It's an awesome name. But the Benelli eagle has been clocked when it's diving after its prey at over 200 miles an hour. That's staggering. And this bird, not only is it able to go fast, but it controls itself because it will hit its prey in midair. There'll be an explosion of feathers, as you might imagine, and this stunned bird begins to fall. Well, before it hits the ground, the Benelli eagle will come. It will turn under and grab it as it comes toward him, right itself, and then fly off again. I mean, these things are spectacular in their aerodynamic abilities when they're in the sky. You know, aircraft designers have been trying for a long time to copy that somehow. I'm glad to see you nodding up and down. I appreciate that. But the designers have been trying for so long to be able to emulate how those slots and things work in order to increase speed and the agility of the planes that we have. Church, can I tell you, God's creation is always infinitely better than anything man can do. We are just pale imitations of everything. The most beautiful flowers created are nothing compared to the majesty of what God's created. And you know what we see out here? Longwood Gardens. Where's Deb? Deb used to work for Longwood Gardens, correct? You worked in their say the word.
I was a student there in their student program in the conservatory.
What she said. In the conservatory, all right? Have you been to Longwood Gardens? Who's been to Longwood? Most people probably have been. Have you ever been to Longwood Gardens? Only a few of you. Go to Longwood Gardens. It's right down on Route 1 in Chads Ford, I think is where. Kennett Square. I was close. They are spectacularly beautiful. Do you know that those flowers are pale imitations to what we're going to see in glory in heaven? I will not be surprised if the colors of those flowers actually make noise, would sing to us. I mean, the majesty of what God's done. So in looking at all of this with the eagle, the way that it flies, the way that it soars, using the air currents to be able to go where it needs to without almost any effort, what does that mean to us? What's that got to do with me as a Christian? Well, as Rod read for us this morning, we are called, the Bible says, to mount up. Now, here's where that is. That's in Isaiah 40, 31. Rod read that. It said, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar. Now, the New King James Version says mount up. That's in the original language. And I actually like those words better than soar because I think it gives a more accurate description. Because in the original Hebrew, that word means to ascend or to increase, to grow or to recover, to restore. So think about now, in light of those definitions, what that verse says. Those that mount up, those that restore, those that get stronger in the Lord will renew their strength. And see, I know, church, for a fact that every single one of us deal with things in our lives that just drain us. I think about dealing with something or this thing that's been in my life, this person that's been in my life, and it just drains me. Well, you know, if you come to God and say, Father, this is yours, I want to mount up on wings of eagles, mount up on the wings of God, he will renew my strength. Amen. He will enable me to be able to soar. See, for an eagle, the knowledge or the ability to use thermal currents is very important to how it flies. When the sun comes up in the morning, the air begins to heat, begins to get warmer. Now, the flappers of the bird kingdom, those are the guys that have to work so hard to get where they want to go. I mean, they are beating their wings like crazy. They're the flappers. Flappers, boom, they jump up and they're flying right at first light. They're out and around. An eagle doesn't do that. An eagle will normally wait a period of time until it takes its first flight in order for those thermal currents to increase in temperature. Because all that magnificent bird has to do is just simply jump up into the air and take a few strokes of its wings, and those currents will carry it wherever it needs to go. Not only are the wing feathers made for that, but their tail feathers tilt as a unit, and it allows them to be able to change direction on a moment when it's flying, to be able to hunt and to go after its prey. Well, you see, that's also true for us, church, because when we think of soaring, how do we do that? How do you soar? If it's your efforts, if it's your flapping, that's what's going to wear you down. Those are the things that make us weary. Because an eagle, it doesn't fly like the other birds do. The eagle can do all of these impressive things, but here's what's important. To understand the truth that the eagle flies not by its own strength, but by the strength of those currents around it. You know, for our lives as Christians, the power and abilities that God gives us are not our own. You see, the things that we do that are good, that are great, the things that people achieve in life, it's not because of what they've done. It's because of who God is in them. That's why I love the song that we sang this morning. Who am I? Who am I that God would enable me, that God would enable you to do what it is that he's called you to do? And it's why it so grieves my heart when I see these speakers, these preachers, these people at different conferences and all of that. And I saw one the other day, and the video had this huge crowd of people, and the room was pitch black, couldn't see anything, and there was a single powerful spotlight on the guy in the middle talking. That grieves my heart when I see that. How can you not be focused on that person and what they're doing? You see, now, Pastor Dave, isn't that a little bit nitpicky? I mean, come on. It's just a spotlight. That's all it is. Church, I'm telling you, the moment we begin to take away the glory from God and allow people to think it's me that's doing something, we're allowing pride to come into our lives. And we are now working our way towards becoming that dreaded peacock that we talked about. The peacock that wants the pleasure, wants the glory, wants the attention for themselves. You see, church, God will never, ever share his glory. He won't share it with the enemy. He won't even share it with his creation, us. And so as a Christian, to recognize and know that whatever it is that I am able to do, it is not because of my efforts. The eagle does not soar like he does because of what he's doing. He soars on those currents that he understands. And see, that's what I think God is looking for in people today. I think that's what he's looking for in his church. I don't know why all those 10 churches have closed. I mean, obviously they don't have the people, but why is that? That's what I want to know. What is it that is not drawing people? And this is not against anything like that. Please don't hear that. But my question is that as we desire to serve God, if the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit is not there, anything that's done by man is going to fade at some point. At some point, it's going to fade. And see, God used people in the Bible. When you look at Exodus 3, Moses is standing in front of the burning bush. Actually, he's kneeling in front of the burning bush because God said, get your shoes off because you're on holy ground. And what did Moses say to him? He said, God, you got to understand something. I don't speak very well. You know that, right? You know, Moses 5 times told God, I'm not a good speaker. I think God eventually just went, fine, I'll send Aaron with you. Go do what I've told you to do. I think God, I hear that in my head once in a while. I think God just wants to go, just do what I said. Like a parent. But Moses, he was going, God, yeah, I know. Pharaoh's guy, yeah, good shepherd, all that kind of thing, but I don't speak very well. Gideon, go look in Gideon. This is in Judges, the 6th chapter. An angel came to Gideon and said, Gideon, you're going to be the leader of my people. I'm going to make you a judge, and you're going to be the one that's going to lead my people. You know what Gideon said? Whoa, whoa, you got the wrong guy. I am not only from the smallest tribe, I'm also from the smallest family in my tribe. How can I possibly do what it is you want me to do? But you know what really just makes me pause is Jesus said the exact same thing. In John 5:19, Jesus said, truly I say to you, the Son, talking about himself, can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. You see, church, I believe that that's what God is looking for in his church. And I don't mean Remnant Life Church. I don't mean a building church. You are the church. I am the church. Wherever we go, we're the church. I can remember my father telling this story about he was in New York City. He and another gentleman started a ministry in Manhattan. And my dad said that he was sitting at a lunch counter. You know, if you've ever been to New York City, I don't even know if they still have them or not, but they on the corners, they would have these open, like, delis where you come in and just sit down and get something to eat. And he said he was sitting there eating something. This was not the time he finished the milkshake and found the roach at the bottom. That was a whole other story. Again, one of my favorites. Yeah, charged him extra protein, I guess, something like that. That's disgusting. But he said he was sitting on the stool, and he looked, and off the sidewalk, this guy came walking in, obviously had nothing, obviously hadn't eaten in a while. And he said the guy started to reach across and grab a piece of pizza that was sitting on the thing, and the owner came over and said, hey, he said, knock that off. He said, this is a business. He said, you want a handout? He said, you go to the church and get it from them. And he said, my dad was sitting there, and he said, he just felt in his heart, he said, wait a minute. He said, the church is in some building down the street. He said, the church is sitting right here in this stool. He said, I'm the church. I'm the one that represents Jesus Christ wherever I go. And so my dad bought him some food, and the owner, you know, scowled at him and all that. Guy didn't say thank you, didn't say a word. Finished his eating, took off. But, you know, the church isn't looking for thanks. The church should not be looking to have ourselves verified by the people around us. What we are to be is the one that says, God, I can't do this of myself. Moses said, I can't talk. Gideon said, I'm of the smallest group. Jesus even said, I can't do anything of myself. It's what I see the Father doing is what I do. And see, church, that's the way that you begin to soar as a Christian. Because then it isn't your efforts. You're mounting up on those wings like eagles. And then you can run, and you're not going to be weary. You can walk, and you won't faint. Well, church, I got to tell you, that thermal wind that the eagle flies on, that thermal wind is available to us today. Very same. Except we know that to be the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit to carry us into things of our lives. And see, many Christians are unaware of that because, one primary reason, they're not willing to sit and wait. Because you notice that part of that verse, right? We always skip that part. Those who, what? Wait upon the Lord. Nobody likes waiting. Face it, nobody likes waiting. If there's an issue, if there's a problem, let's go. Let's get this done. Come on, come on, let's go. And in reality, and this is, again, where we just spend time with the Father to know his heart. God, do I need to move on this, or do I just need to sit still and wait on you? Because I know in Isaiah 40:31, it says, those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Well, if you're not waiting, you're not being renewed. And so consequently, Christians that are always dealing with things in their lives that they just can't seem to get over many times, it isn't because you don't have the answer, that God's not given it. It's not because it's something that's too great for you. It's because you're not willing to wait on God. Just wait on him. And then he'll renew your strength so that you can run and you can walk through it. The other thing about an eagle, and with this I'll start to close. One of the great physical attributes that an eagle has, and I think we talked about this early on, is its vision, its sight. To be able to see, we even use that term, you know, eyes like an eagle. Eagle vision means to be able to see things that other people, that's not me. I don't know what kind of vision bird I have. The dodo probably is probably the one I'm thinking of. But an eagle's vision is obviously many more times greater than a human's. And here's the other thing about how an eagle lives that allows it to take advantage of that. The chicken, the turkey, those birds that don't fly, not for any distance, they can only see just a few yards around them. That's their field of vision. The crow or some of those other birds that fly higher, they're able then to see perhaps for, maybe a few hundred yards around them because they're much higher. An eagle is flying at thousands of feet up, and because of the vision that it has, it can see clearly on the ground miles around it. Now, let me tell you why that's important for us. When you are grounded for whatever reason, you're not going to be able to see the things that are coming after you. You're not going to be able to see the plot of the enemy coming. Why is it you think so many Christians, so many times they'll say, man, I have no idea how I got here. I didn't even see this coming. This threw me completely off guard. This completely knocked me down. I never even, why? Well, partly probably because your vision has been restricted. You're grounded. But see, when you learn to soar, your vision becomes greater and more clear, not just in sharpness of focus, but being able to see the things coming. You see, I don't want to see Satan's plan when it's right in front of my nose. I want to see Satan's plan when it's a couple of miles away. And I can see things beginning to kind of fester. Let me give an example. Men can get themselves into a lot of trouble. Sometimes even innocently, at least it starts that way. I am very guarded about what I say to another woman. I am hyper guarded about physical contact with somebody other than my wife. Now you might go on, seriously, you hug everybody. Yes, I do. I'm Italian. What can I tell you? It's what we do. Hey, come here, hug me up. But I want you to notice, though, ladies, take notice of how I almost always hug somebody. I almost always hug a lady from the side. Because I don't believe it's wise for a married man to hug a woman in a way that brings her into a close proximity that shouldn't be there. Now you say, whoa, Pastor Dave, why are you saying all of this? Because men get themselves in trouble by doing something that allows the enemy to come and to begin to work something. Words that are said that suddenly now this lady over here is thinking something different that she shouldn't be thinking based on what I said. Now, watch. If I'm grounded, I'll never even think of that. I won't even know it. Until suddenly, now I'm having feelings. Now we're talking to each other more and more. Now I'm, it's an innocent thing. Maybe we'll just go get some lunch or something like that. You see, this is how the enemy works his way into Christians' lives. It didn't start out that way, but that's where it ended, primarily because I was grounded. I never saw it. Let me tell you what, if you're soaring in the Lord, if you're soaring on those winds of the Holy Spirit, you're going to see that long before it gets to you. And you'll be able to deal with it in a way that does not hurt somebody, that doesn't allow the enemy to come and to get a foothold in your life, and it will bring glory to God. That's what it means to soar. I can see the enemy's plans coming. I can head those off. I don't need to let the enemy have a victory by getting so close to me that now I've got other things to have to deal with. Does that make sense to you? Understand what I'm saying? To be able to see the enemy coming and not allow that to become a part of my life. That's what acute vision does when you're soaring in God. And so again, I started off by saying, I want you to know without a shadow of a doubt that you are born to soar. Every one of you that know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're born to soar. Not to be grounded, not to be that turkey or that chicken that can't get off the ground. You're born to soar on wings like eagles. Now, that does not always mean that there isn't going to be difficulties for you to have to deal with. Somehow I think we believe that soaring means I'm above all that. No, I don't deal with that kind of stuff. I don't have to worry about that. That's not true. In Matthew 13, Jesus is teaching the parable of the soils. If you don't know what I'm talking about, go read it. It's a great parable about how seeds are planted. Well, here's also another thing Jesus said. He said, when persecutions come, what did Jesus not say? If persecutions come. He didn't say if. He said when. Persecution is going to come. But I'll tell you, church, Satan wants nothing more than for you to believe the lie that that struggle, that difficulty, that persecution somehow means that you're grounded. You're not. You're not grounded. As a matter of fact, those are the times that I am more determined than ever. God, I need the wind of the Holy Spirit right now, because that's what's going to help me to fly through that time. And there are going to be times even God's going to let you fly over that. But whatever it is that happens, it isn't me. I'm not the flapper out there just beating my wings as hard as I can. I'm going to get through this. I got to have an answer. I'm going to get a solution to this. No wonder you're exhausted. No wonder you're tired, because it doesn't depend on your efforts. When we rest, when we wait upon the Lord, He says He will renew your strength. Now, church, every single situation is going to be different. That's why you need to pray. You need to ask God. You need to seek counsel from time to time from somebody in your life that you trust. And just go, you know, hey, man, give me your vision on this. Tell me what it looks like from where you're soaring. Does that look like something different than what I'm seeing? See, that's what it means to live within a church family and to be able to love one another, to be able to encourage each other, to be able to fly in a way that says, you know, I'm not going to let the enemy win this. I am more than a conqueror because of Jesus Christ. I have an ability because of Jesus to be able to soar, to be able to fly through those times. Here's my last question to you, though. Are there things in your life right now that are allowing or keeping you grounded? Is there anything in your life right now that is keeping you grounded? You say, Pastor Dave, man, I'd love to soar, but I can't. Why is that? Is there a sin issue in your life that you're not dealing with, you're not facing? Is there anger against somebody? Is there jealousy? Is there unforgiveness? Maybe you have false beliefs in your mind. Somehow you've been taught that when problems come, well, it's something God's trying to pound into my heart. No, that's not necessarily true. But what is it? Church, maybe it's pride. Maybe you do think that the things that you're able to do, the gifts that you have, are things that you have developed in your life. And in reality, there is nothing good of us that doesn't come from God. He is our source in all things. Bow your heads with me if you would. And what I want you to do just for a minute before I pray is I want you to ask yourself that question again. God, is there anything in my life right now that is keeping me from soaring? From living a life that is victorious, where my life, the issues I have and all of that, I don't need to flap so hard. I can just wait on you. What's keeping that from happening in my life? And church, for many, it might just be very simply to say, Father, just help me to rest and wait on you. We have got such great achievers in here. So many of you, you're so successful in what you do, and you're good at what you do, and people count on you. I understand all of that. But when it comes to our relationship with God, it isn't about us. It isn't about our abilities. It's about Him. And so, Father, I ask in the name of Jesus that you would reveal to my brothers and sisters right now if there is anything in their lives that's keeping them from being able to soar like an eagle. Again, Father, this is not about what we do. It's not about our accomplishment. It's about surrendering every aspect of my life to you. Lord, we are your servants. We serve at your pleasure. And yet we also know that your word tells us if we wait on you, we will mount up on wings like eagles. We will run and not grow tired. We will be able to walk and to continue walking. And Father, that means that even in the most difficult times, we have that through you. So the enemy can't beat us down. He can't have victory over us. It may not be easy, but God, I'm going to persevere. I'm going to continue to move forward, to march in the name of Jesus with you, Father, with me, leading. It is through your strength, through your wisdom, through your mercy and grace that I will have victory in my life. And so, Father, I pray that over each and every person here, those that are not with us, those that are listening online or on the internet, Father, I pray that we would receive these words to your glory and honor so that we can face every single day confident in who you've called us to be so that we may be a light for other people. They may know we're dealing with something difficult, but they're not going to see that in my face. They're going to see a person filled with the joy of the knowledge that God is greater, and He will take me through this. He will bring healing. He will bring resolution in His perfect time, and I will wait for that because He's my Lord and my God. Father, I pray blessing over each and every person here. Go with them, keep them safe, and when we come back again next week, I pray, God, that we will look forward to, again, the opportunity to enjoy this time together, all to Your glory and honor. It's in Jesus' precious name I pray these things. Amen.